I hope that's a song that comes right out of your heart. Amen. I'm going to go to the book of Galatians, but before we begin there, does anybody have a question? Anybody? I mentioned a moment ago. Anybody have a Bible question? I mean, if you want to know what 4 divided by 2 is, I can even tell you that. Anybody? Nobody? Okay. Well, that makes it easy. Like I said, that makes it easy. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Did Jonah ever get right with God?
Is there any other questions tonight? I don't know. I do know this, that Jonah went and did what God wanted him to do to start with, but I also know that he was upset when God blessed. Judging by that, I would say he wasn't really on the right ground with God as he ought to have been. And, you know, any preacher in this country that would have half a town or all the town turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, they'd be singing hallelujah. But he was up there on the side of the hill looking down, upset and mad. So, yeah, I personally don't think so. It's something you know, one of those questions you don't really have an answer for. That's my opinion for what it's worth. Anybody else? Nobody else? Book of Galatians, chapter number 5. The other night I asked a question, is there a difference between freedom and liberty? And planning on going into that tonight just a little bit. And I did have one answer. Did anybody else have an answer? Julie actually gave me an answer. She kind of looked that up. I'll not give you her answer because it was so much more detailed than mine. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer first, and I want to look at actually 2 verses tonight, verse number 1, verse 13. Father, we thank you so much for an opportunity and really a privilege to gather together. We know there are many, many places in this world that such a meeting is not allowed. Matter of fact, some places, if they meet like this, they would be, if caught, would be taken to prison or perhaps even killed. And Lord, we thank you that there were those who were willing to, as our Savior, to die for that kind of freedom that we enjoy here in this country. We pray you might work and bless tonight as we look in these verses in Christ's name. Amen. Verse number 1, notice what it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." If you go down to verse 13, notice what he says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." On this date, in 1776, our nation, under the leadership of men like John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, declared its independence from Great Britain. Great Britain at the time was acclaimed to be the greatest military might in the world. Yet there were these settlers who had had enough of the tyrannical rule that the King of England was placing upon us. When we think about this day, let me help you with something. I believe we ought to refer to it as Independence Day. Do you realize today that many, many of our young people in our nation, I'm talking about college students, high school students, and some of those in their early 20s, maybe even farther than that, they have no idea the concept of what America is all about. They have no idea that this date was a date that was etched in our history. And we were under the tyranny of Great Britain, and we declared our independence. And so I think it's best if we can remember to describe it as Independence Day, that they might learn of our heritage, that they might appreciate our freedom from tyrants, and to do what our conscience and our values, especially our biblical values, lead and direct us in. It's interesting, we don't celebrate the 25th of December, but we celebrate at Christmas, amen? And so it would be good if we could somehow I know it's etched into us, it's etched into me, but somehow we remember that it's Independence Day. And it has a great meaning and great purpose. It's so much more than a date, it's our very way of life if we stop and think about it. It's celebrated, unusually to some people, but with bombs bursting in air. And I know that some do not like to hear those loud noises. There are some in this room that like to make them. But it ought to remind us of the awful price which was made at Fort McHenry in Baltimore. On the night of September 13th, 1814, they had gathered together to come against the United States that was being formed. From the 12th through the 15th, they fought. And if I understand my history right, on the 13th, the British fleet came into that harbor and began to shell Fort McHenry. Francis Scott Key was on board one of their prisoner ships, and he was seeking to have a release of those prisoners. Basically, what he was trying to do, excuse me, was to have a one-on-one basis of exchange and thus release those who were held prisoner there. As he told the captain of the ship what he wanted and what he desired, the captain basically said to him, "It's not going to do you any good, because tomorrow you will be under our rule." And he basically said to him that tomorrow that flag that flies over there will no longer be there. Well, throughout the night, Francis Scott Key could be up above, and he would look, and the prisoners would holler at him and ask him if the flag was still up there. And so through the night, he kept them abreast of what was taking place. After that bombing and the horrible shelling that took place, we know from history that that flag was still there. It was being held up by literally scores of men who had died getting it there. It had been battered, it had been hit, it had taken several direct hits. And when it would come down, somebody would grab it and they'd put it back up. And it was still flying come the next morning. Francis Scott Key, upon seeing that, sat down and wrote a poem. And September 20th of 1814, that poem was published in the Baltimore Patriot newspaper. Did you know it wasn't until 1931 that it was officially described as our national anthem? And so we have a great heritage of those who died to set us free. So we come to two words that are most often interchanged, but there is a difference. And to make it very simple so I can understand it, I would put it this way. Freedom is to be free of tyranny, or freedom from something. Liberty is to be free to do something. I find those two words to have great meaning as you come to the Word of God. I find that if you were to read the many different papers that these men wrote in that day, they understood that difference. And so as we come to chapter 5 and verse number 1, we see the word free. We also see the liberty. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." We have been set free to have the liberty to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. One thing that we notice, though, is freedom is not cheap. It's not cheap. Liberty is not cheap. Though it makes us free to do something, though freedom says, hey, you don't have to be under that tyrant, nonetheless, these things do not come cheaply. For as we look at our text, we find that he's really talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, is he not? He's talking about the fact that you and I, we are in bondage. Our sin has us bound. No matter what we tried to do, we couldn't get away from it. No matter how much we would get upset with ourselves and say, I'm not going to do that anymore, we would do it yet again. And so we find that the Lord has told us that we have liberty. God has set us free from the yoke of bondage. We are free from the tyrant Satan, and we have the liberty to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we find great, marvelous thoughts here with these verses. 2 Peter chapter number 2 says this: submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to king or as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For this is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And so we find that our liberty is not for selfish gain. Our liberty is not that which gives us the right to serve our flesh. That's what he's talking about in verse 13. Brethren, you have been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so God has set us free from the tyrant, and he's given us liberty, liberty to bring unto him honor and glory. Listen, our forefathers, they fought for that. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary fought for that. They, in the 1700s, wrote for future generations the Constitution. They of Christ's time, under inspiration of God, wrote for us that great book we call the Bible, and we have that yet today. Our freedom from and our liberty to were the foundation upon which this nation was built. And we ought to understand that that be so marvelously true of our relationship with God. We have freedom from, but liberty to. Many people, they say, well, you know, you folks have so much liberty, you can do anything you want to. And we need to always remember that God didn't say we have liberty to do what we want. We have liberty to do what is right. Before we were saved, we couldn't do right. The Bible says that all of our righteousnesses were as filthy rags. He says that there's none good, no, not one. And yet, as we have taken on the Lord Jesus Christ, all of that has changed. Thank God for that. There's a problem in our nation. We see a lot of things taking place right now. We find horrible, hateful speech being made. Those on the right used to be accused of doing that. Those on the left have now become far more adept at it than ever can be imagined. And it's quite a shame that we have those who are actually in Congress that threaten to assassinate our president. It's horrible that we have this kind of thing taking place. But I say to you tonight, we have lost our concept of what freedom and liberty really is. We've lost it religiously. We've lost it nationally. And we somehow think that this liberty we have is freedom to do whatever we want. In other words, it's out of selfishness. It's a selfish mindset that seeks only the desires of one's flesh. Notice verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only what? Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Our liberty is not to exercise our fleshliness. It's not to be selfish. It is that which really is just the opposite. As we give ourselves unto the Lord Jesus Christ and unto others. I believe tonight that if there's a need in our nation, if there's something that we need more than anything else, it's that people might recognize what true freedom is. They might recognize that it's freedom from tyranny. They might recognize that liberty is the ability to be free to do what is right, to accomplish for God and for man. And yet we have forgotten that in our churches, and certainly we have forgotten it as a nation, and how we need to call back unto that very, very concept. May that be a plea of our heart as we pray, as we work, as we talk to others, that we would give ourselves to the great cause of bringing liberty into the lives of others. I don't mean liberty to do what they want, but liberty to follow God's will. Amen? What a great, great need that we have. I've kind of wrestled tonight with, what should I do? My message tonight was basically an introduction. But I think it would be great for us tonight if we just all stay right here. Carolyn, that means you and these young folks too. And just take a few moments and go to God and ask Him, like in the words of that great old song, God Bless America. And as some are now singing, God Bless Her Again, because we certainly need Him to work in our hearts. I find it incredible when I look back in the Old Testament and I see that God had laid down those principles whereby the nation of Israel could live and have the blessings of God. We find that they were given a great land. We find that God had given them the law that was to help them both with God and with each other. And God had done so much in their lives. And yet they got into the land, and almost immediately, and you read about it in the Judges, almost immediately they began to do that which is right in their own eyes. Liberty is not doing that which is right in their own eyes. Liberty is doing what's right in the eyes of God. And that's a great need in our nation. It's a great need with God's people. A lot of folks today say, well, you guys, you don't believe in liberty. Oh, yeah. But it's not a freedom to sin. It's not a freedom to do as we so whim. It's a freedom to do as God says and to see His principles work in lives. And so as we take some time tonight, I'd like for us just to pray for God to bless this nation. While we're at it, there's somebody you know that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not true? There's somebody you know. And I heard one say tonight, there's still some in my family. Now, who of us don't? That need the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps we could call out their name to God and ask Him to work. Because we're going to see our nation come back to God. It's going to be one at a time. As men and women turn their hearts unto Him. I fear where we might be headed. I really do. Israel never listened to the prophets. She ended up destroyed. God said, the only way that you're going to figure out that I'm a great God is basically destroy you. And He did. And yet to this day, nationally, they've not recognized Him. But there's a day coming very soon when every Jew will look to Christ. He will no longer be a stranger to them, and they will turn to Him. I don't know how all that's going to work, but I find in the Bible. I also find that every knee shall bow. But wouldn't it be great before that day when they have to, that they do it out of a heart that's been changed? Amen? That's the need of the hour. And that heart that needs to be changed needs to start with us. Because we've been bought in so much with the selfish culture of our day. And so bought into the pleasures of this world. And seeking after that as opposed to seeking God in His marvelous will. So let's take a few moments and just have prayer. I'll start. If somebody wants to jump in there, you don't have to say a long prayer. Listen, one or two sentences is enough, amen? And just ask God to do something. I would appreciate it, and I'll close in prayer tonight. So let's begin. Father, I pray that You might lay upon our hearts those who, first of all, those who need to be saved. They might be set free from the sin that doth have them in bondage. We pray tonight for our peoples who are in positions in government that you might do a work of changing hearts. Lord, we're thankful that we have seen that many, many times. And we're thankful, Lord, that there are some on Capitol Hill now who study the Bible regularly. Lord, I pray that that would multiply itself greatly. I pray, oh God, that our hearts might be in tune with you and we might seek after you and see this nation turn unto you. We thank you for this date many, many years ago and the faith of those men and the determination of those who gathered together to seek for freedom from the tyranny of Great Britain and for the liberty to follow after the Word of God. I pray for your blessings. Lay upon each of our hearts whatever it is you might have us to say and to pray.